Back to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, continuing our study of Daniel, chapter 9. The message today is God's prophetic clock. I want to know where we're going. How about you? I think it's good to know where we're going. And I think it's good to know where we're going to be when we get there. Right? So as children of God, we know. We have assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? But it's good to know the road that's going to bring us to that ultimate time of salvation and kingdom of God. In this chapter, Daniel chapter 9, we're reading the last half. The first part of this chapter, God gives us a timeline as to how this age is going to progress. And we're headed to the literal return of Jesus Christ. One thing I want you to keep in mind that as you read this, this was written to the Jewish people. All right? This was for the Jewish people. Now, we can benefit from knowing the instructions and the direction that God's leading the Jews. We, too, can know our future. But as we look, would you stand with me? And let's read from Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 20. Now, while I was speaking, this is Daniel, while I was speaking, praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, or the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandment went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with the flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you today knowing, Lord, that without the guidance and the revelation of your Holy Spirit, we'll not understand your word. So, Lord, I pray that today you will instruct us, that you will give us understanding and insight into this message given to us by Daniel. I pray for understanding not only for myself, but for all those present and all those who will hear this message. Help us, Lord, that we may know your word, that we may see your hand working in your word, and that, Lord, we may be faithful in the time that we have left upon this earth. I pray for those in this service today who do not know you as their Savior. Lord, we know hell is real. And we know those who have rejected you, Lord, that's their eternal home. Father, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. Help them, Lord, to hear the message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We pray all this to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Daniel chapter 9 is so very interesting in that it can get really deep really quickly. But it's not that hard either at the same time if you keep it simple. And so that's what I'm going for today, is to keep it simple, because quite honestly, I'm a simple guy. I can't understand things that are really in depth. So we're going for the simple approach today. In this chapter, Daniel chapter 9, he opens with reading the prophecies of Jeremiah. And I would like to read verse 2 to you. If you have your Bibles open there, you can read along with me. In the first year of his reign, that's the reign King Darius, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in desolations for Jerusalem. Here's the setting. Daniel is reading the prophet Jeremiah. And as he reads the prophet Jeremiah, he reads what he thinks is 70 years will accomplish Israel's desolation. And so, guess what? It's been 70 years that Israel has been in captivity. And so Daniel becomes, first of all, I'm sure at this point, he's really excited. And he begins to pray. And he begins to pour out his heart to God, because that's in Leviticus chapter 26. It says that that's the requirement before the restoration of Israel. And as I said, Leviticus chapter 26, it says, if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, if their circumcised hearts are humbled and they accept their guilt, then God will remember his covenant. So you have Daniel, he's reading Jeremiah, and he gets really excited. Whoa! Jeremiah says it's going to last 70 years. We've been in captivity 70 years. And the law in Leviticus tells us that if we confess our sins and the sins of our fathers and turn our hearts back to God, then it'll all be over. So Daniel begins to pour out his heart in prayer. So that's what the first half of this chapter is about. Daniel is pouring out his heart in prayer, thinking that, oh, it's time. The age of the Gentiles is all over. It's time. Unfortunately, Daniel was wrong. Daniel had made a mistake. This was not the end. This was not time for Jerusalem to be restored and the Messianic kingdom to be established. Israel will be allowed to return back to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple under Cyrus, the Persian king. But the age of the Gentiles is only beginning. And because of the misunderstanding that Daniel had, God dispatches his angel Gabriel. And Gabriel comes. He says to come that he's came forth to give Daniel skill to understand. Wow. Skill to understand. God sends, Daniel was a special guy. If God sends his angel to give him insight or to teach Daniel how to interpret what Jeremiah had written down. You know what? The first thing that comes to my mind as I was reading this, I thought, wow, this is Daniel. No, Daniel was a pretty sharp cookie, right? He was a sharp individual, and he got it wrong. Where does that leave this dumb old country boy? I'm thinking, man, I'm in trouble, but you know, I'm reminded of what God did for Daniel. God sent an angel to teach him. Do you realize that we're living in the church age? And in the church age, God has promised to give us a comforter. And this comforter will guide us to all truth. Do you realize we have it even better than Daniel had? That the Holy Spirit of God lives within us and will guide us to all truth. Now, I don't say that and then I'm following up with I have every answer, because I do not have it all figured out. However, what a glorious thought it is to know that God does not let His people absolutely make a mess with the truth of His Word. So Daniel, misunderstanding from the beginning, God has sent Gabriel to give him understanding. of what Jeremiah the prophet says. And in verse 24 that we read, it says that 70 weeks, Daniel, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. That's the whole picture for the ages yet to come. All right? 70 weeks are determined, okay? And you have to understand here, when he uses 70 weeks, the word, the Hebrew word translated weeks is Shavat, which means seven. It literally says 77s are determined upon your people. Now, 77s there, we're talking not weeks, we're talking years, right? 77 is 490 years. God has made this determination for 490 years for the people of Israel and for their holy city. And the reason that God has established this 490 years is, first of all, to finish the transgression. Okay? Now, I want everybody to understand. So, stay with me, right? To finish the transgression. Why has God set all this in motion? To finish the transgression of Israel. What was the transgression of Israel? First of all, it is that word transgression is singular. He's not talking about finishing all the sins of Israel. He's talking about one sin of Israel that has to be dealt with. You know what that word, that one sin is? The one transgression that has brought Israel where they are today? That one transgression is the rejection of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That's the one transgression. This 490 years will accomplish, first of all, to finish the transgression. Israel, when Jesus comes, Israel will deny and refuse the Messiah, God's anointed Holy One, Jesus Christ. The second thing that it does is to make an end of sins. Also, something lost in translation, it literally says to finish sin and the sin offering. When Israel rejects Jesus Christ as the Messiah, what happens? You know, he's tried, he goes to the cross of Calvary, and he becomes the sin offering for all of mankind. So the second thing that's got to happen, and it's going to happen for Israel, is that Jesus Christ is going to die for the sin of the world and deal with sin once and for all. That's what Hebrews 10:10 says. By that will we have... Will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. I'm glad that we don't have to sacrifice bulls and goats anymore. How about you? You see, Jesus took care of that when he died upon the cross of Calvary to make an end of sin and sin offering. Third thing, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Now we get down to the word iniquity. That word is atonement, to make atonement or to cover. What's going to happen to Israel's sins? It's going to be covered by the blood of the Lamb ultimately, just like your sin and my sins are. Number four, to establish everlasting righteousness. To establish this everlasting righteousness, it's talking about Jesus when he comes to set up his kingdom upon this earth. Won't it be outstanding to live in a kingdom that is ruled by Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, who will exercise righteousness in everything that goes on? Your opinion won't matter. My opinion won't matter. It'll just be the establishment of righteousness throughout the world. Won't that be cool? To bring everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy. You know what else is going to happen? Every prophecy down to the last jot and tittle will be fulfilled in this last time, this 490 years. And then, to anoint the Most Holy. Now, different translations translate that word Most Holy different, variously. As a matter of fact, some translations put the most holy place. Even some has said to anoint the temple, the most holy temple. It's not talking about the temple there. As a matter of fact, it literally says to anoint the most holy. It's talking about Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, one of these days, you know what's going to be discovered? The world is going to discover that we were right. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God who paid man's sin debt upon the cross of Calvary. That Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And you know, I'm sure at that point it won't be in our heart to say, "Na na na boo boo, we told you so." However, won't it be a glorious time when every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's what these 490 years are established to do. Okay? Now, what happens? Well, along the way, the clock stops. We're going to read, Dan, go back to verses 25 and 26. I knew I'd do that. I've got too many clickers in my hands. Verses 25 and 26. Here's how it's going to play out. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks break and 62 weeks a break. Right? The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself and not for the people of the prince. And for the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood, and till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Okay, now we're going to interpret these two scriptures. Here's how it plays out. We've started with 490 years. You saw that timeline that I showed you just a moment ago. How it's going to start, the clock will begin when King Cyrus, the king of Persia, issues a decree that allowed for the Jews to return to Jerusalem and begin to rebuild their temple. Okay? That's right there. The decree to rebuild. That's when this prophetic clock begins to tick. That clock went out during happened during the time of Daniel. Cyrus made that decree, and it took 49 years for the walls of Jerusalem to be rebuilt. That's what this is. Seven sevens. That's the first seven. Now remember, in the first part of this, know this and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Right? And then there shall be 62 weeks. The first 7 weeks or 7 years, seven sevens are 49 years from the time Cyrus sent his decree to rebuild Jerusalem to the time the walls were finished. That was 49 years, okay? Then, the 62 weeks, it says, the Messiah shall be cut off. What happens after that? Well, the walls of Jerusalem are finished. We go 62 weeks or 434 years. I have to look back because I can't keep all this straight in my mind, okay? 434 years. Until Jesus Christ was crucified. You see, now you say, Brother Doug, big deal. What is so awesome about this is this is way before Jesus. God's giving this to Daniel, and he's giving a time clock. And he's not just pretty accurate, he's spot on. Okay? So we had 49 years from the decree to rebuild till the walls are finished. Then we had 434 years since the from the time the walls were finished to the time that the Messiah was cut off, which is the 62 sevens there. Okay? Then, The people of the prince shall come and destroy the city. What is that talking about? It's talking about Rome. We know that 70 AD, the Romans, even though they'd occupied the land prior to that, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Right? And until the end of the war, desolations are determined. So since the destruction of Jerusalem until the very end, it's going to be a mess, is actually how it reads. All right? What do we have today? Why do you suppose that Israel is such a big deal? I mean, they're not filled with natural resources. They're the amazing thing, and it amazes me why other countries are so occupied or so preoccupied with Israel. It's because they're God's people, and that's God's land. And everything God, this world, and Satan himself has always taken his stand. Now, what happens? Let's go back. All right? 49 years, the walls were finished. 434 years, the Messiah was cut off. Then right here, a little bit later, we have the destruction of Jerusalem. That gives us how long? 469 weeks. Okay? 489 weeks. What are we doing now? Every time I look away, I get the number wrong. That's 483 years, okay? Goodness. If I just read my own graph, I'd get it right. Where are we now? What happened is when the Messiah was cut off, the clock stopped. And if you read in verse 27, it says, "Then he shall confirm a covenant." Right? That's not connected with anything before that. As a matter of fact, Hebrew scholars tell me that there is an obvious break there. That's why we say the clock has stopped. Right now, we have accomplished, where at this point in history, we have accomplished 483 years of this 490 years. All right? Now, what's going to happen? We're waiting for the clock to start again. That's what we're waiting on, right? We're waiting for the clock to start again. What's going to be the marker for the clock to start again? Well, there's going to be a covenant that is confirmed. Now, if you look up here, the Messiah has been cut off right there. Right now, we're in the age of the Gentiles or the church age. The funny thing about the church age is that we don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know how long this is going to last. We don't know how long this is going to last. I want you to take that sentence to your heart. We do know that we're drawing near the end. Okay? How do we know? You look at world events. The budding of the fig tree. Everything is pointing to the very end. Now, what's the part that's going to start the clock again is that the covenant will be confirmed by the Antichrist. Verse 27. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offerings. And on the wing of abominations, he shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out upon the desolate. What is that saying? Well, there's one that's going to come out of the people that is to come. That's Rome. A man will rise up out of the old Roman Empire. I do not know what country, if it's Italy, if it's France, if it's Germany, but it's going to be someone who rises to power from the old Roman Empire. And he's going to confirm a covenant with the nation of Israel. What is this covenant going to be? It's going to be a covenant to rebuild that temple and establish Jewish worship once again. The offering and the sacrifice of animals just like they did in the Old Testament. It's interesting. I don't think everybody's going to, all of Jerusalem's going to fall for it, because it says, verse 27, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. So there's going to be some that's not going to be part of that covenant. But when he confirms that covenant, guess what happens? The clock starts ticking. There's 7 years left. That's why you hear so many Bible prophecy people talk about that covenant. When that covenant is confirmed, is established, I believe the clock's ticking, right? And we have 7 years. What's going to happen during that 7 years? It's called the 7-year tribulation period. Now, after 3.5 years or somewhere in that area, what's going to happen is that this Antichrist, I think it's Revelation 13, this Antichrist or man of sin who confirms the covenant is going to be killed. That's not going to be the end. He's going to at least appear to everyone. The Bible says he receives a mortal wound, all right, a deadly wound. I believe he's going to be killed. And he's going to come back to life. You read it, all right? It's in there. And when he comes back to life, everything's going to change. Midpoint, the tribulation period. He is going to demand that he himself is God. He's going to demand that he be worshipped as God. He's going to have his image set in the temple and demand that the whole world bow down. And Israel is going to take exception to that. And beloved, all of a sudden, his wrath, his world armies, everything that he is going to be poured out against the nation of Israel, and that last 3.5 years is going to be literally hell on earth for Israel. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 describes it like this. Therefore, well, let's just read it together. Therefore, and again, this is written to Jews. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing and babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again. Beloved, the Jews have experienced tribulation and wars and persecutions since the time that the Messiah has been cut off. But they haven't seen anything yet. All right? Right now, we are living in the church age. The church age, God's church has been instructed or entrusted with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Messiah, the Jews rejected the Messiah back when they crucified Jesus Christ. Now, we are given this church age, this pause in time, in which we are given the responsibility to spread the gospel to a world that is speeding down the timeline of destruction. That's our job. You understand that there's more to church than coming to church, coming to a service on Sunday. There's more to church than just attending a Sunday school class. There's more to church than youth programs and seniors ministry. Beloved, we are here to sound the alarm to the world that the end is coming. And our message has to be repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's coming. Same thing John preached when he was preparing the way for Jesus. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're near. And then Jesus showed up. Now our message has to be saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I know the world looks at us and they think, you're crazy. We've heard this all our life. You're crazy. You're a Bible thumper. But beloved, it does not change the fact that one of these days, that covenant will be signed and confirmed. That same covenant, midpoint, 3.5 years later, will be broken. And all hell on earth will break out, and it will culminate in the literal return of Jesus Christ as He sets foot back on this earth to take what is rightfully His. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Where are you going to be? Okay? Right now we're still in the church age. You realize how close we are. Right now, we're still in the church age. Where are we on this timeline? I do not know. I think we're probably right here. Okay? I think we're probably right here. We're close. Where are you going to be when the clock starts ticking again? Where are you going to be when that 7-year point, that last 7 years? Beloved, I believe if you're a child of God, I'll tell you what I think. I think, I don't think God's going to leave His bride here. Okay? First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Says, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? God has not... This tribulation period, this wrath of God that's going to be poured out upon us, it's not about pouring it out on the church. It's about pouring it out on a rejecting mankind. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 talks about, it says, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and reign shall be caught up together to meet Him in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, if we're the bride of Christ, I do not believe the bride of Christ is going to be here during the tribulation. Okay? Because the tribulation is not about us. It's about a Jewish nation who has rejected the Messiah. It's about a rejection, a Gentile world who has rejected the Messiah. That's what the tribulation is about. Being the bride of Christ. That's my bride over there. And if I know trouble's coming, guess what I'm going to do for my bride? I'm going to run over to my bride. I'm going to take her by the arm. I'm going to say, come on, babe. You're my bride. I'm going to take you out of here. Beloved, I want you to know, if you're a child of God, I believe. And you know, and there's pre-wrath ideas that the rapture happens here. Others think it happens here. One thing I know, it's going to happen. Where are you going to be when it happens? Jesus Christ is going to step out on that cloud. And He's going to take His bride home. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. Where are you going to be? I want to end this the same way that I've ended the last 2 weeks. I'm not here to try to scare you. I'm here so you'll know how this is going to turn out. I'm here to sound the warning that judgment is coming. I'm here to give you a way of escape through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because it's going to end. Jesus is going to return. He's going to establish His kingdom. Where are you going to be? Today, I ask you, choose sides. Okay? Isn't that what we do in a fight? Don't we choose sides? Right? In every war, there's always been two sides. Multiple sides, right? Why? Because you got to decide what side you want to be on. Since the beginning of time, the Garden of Eden, since Satan deceived Adam and Eve, the war has been going on. That's why we're told in the book of Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God that you may withstand the wiles of the devil. Put on the armor. Get ready. Go to battle. Well, today I want you to choose which side you're on. I ask you to choose. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you walk out of here lost, I want you to know, Brother Doug, you know, you say, well, Brother Doug, I'll choose later. No, you got to choose today. But we don't know when that clock is going to start ticking again. We don't know when Jesus Christ is going to come back and rapture His church. But what I do know, you walk out of here today rejecting. Beloved, you could be left behind. And you say, Brother Doug, nah, I'm going to wait. And when I see the church taken out, and there are people who think this way, when I see the church taken out, when I see that covenant confirmed, I'm going to call out to Jesus. That's when I'm going to choose my side. No, you won't. You won't. Because 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. You see, that spirit of Antichrist is already here. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken away. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. When that Antichrist shows up and you see him confirm that covenant, he's going to be the biggest liar this world has ever seen. You think politicians today are bad? He's going to make them look like sissies. Even him whose coming is after the work of Satan, and with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the truth of the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And get this part. If you're putting it off, get this part. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. God shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie. So what's going to happen is the people that are left behind and enter this and see that Antichrist, they're going to fall hook, line, and sinker for his lies. Oh, Brother Doug, I can control. No, you can't. God's going to send you strong delusion. Why? That they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Today, here's the truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave His life upon Calvary for your sins so that you could be saved. The truth says, if you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the truth. You walk out of here, you're saying, Satan, feed me your lies. Friends, it's too important. It's too important to wait. One thing I know. You know, Wade had mentioned, you know, sometimes it's kind of sad, and it is sad. But one thing I know where I'm going. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good person, because I'm not. I'm not going to heaven because I've got enough good works to get me there, because I don't. Beloved, I'm going to heaven because I've received Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as my Savior. And if you think you're getting to heaven any other way, I promise you, you're not going to make it. Why? The Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior today? This invitation's for you if you want to be saved. Maybe you're here today and there's another thing that God has laid on your heart. Perhaps you've been thinking of becoming a member of Victory and the Lord's leading you in that direction. We'd invite you to come in this invitation. Perhaps you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. We'd invite you to come. Whatever your spiritual need is, I ask you one thing. Listen to Jesus and do what Jesus would lead you to do. So that when you walk out of here, you can walk out of here with a clear conscience that you are right with God.
Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray that your word will sink deeply into our hearts. I pray that that the understanding of your word, Lord, will sink deep within us. Help us, Lord, to realize we don't have long left. If we're going to do, we better do today. For the night is far spent. Father, I pray your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name.